You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with WFHR lifetime listeners Diane Blanchard and Pamela Hilke on Tuesday, July 28th. Thank you for joining me, Diane and Pam, to share your stories with our listeners.
Thank you. Nice to have you here.
So I'm excited to sit down with both of you today. So you're both lifelong residents of Wisconsin Rapids and also lifelong listeners of our WFHR radio station. And I can't wait to hear about your earliest memories of hearing WFHR broadcasts. Your parents, I'm guessing, were loyal listeners at that time, and WFHR was the only radio station you could pick up in Wisconsin Rapids. So Diane, let's start with you. What is your earliest memory of listening to the station?
I remember myself being in the kitchen, and we lived in a little three-room house, not three-bedroom, three rooms.
Oh, my.
Yes, it's still there, but they've, you know, rebuilt things, increased, remodeled, and all that added on. Anyway, my first memory of it is in the mornings, it would be... this song, the B-I-B-L-E, and I would go dancing around in the kitchen and sing that. And then my next real memory that I remembered since I've talked to you last was I was in on the Reader's Rally. I was like in third grade, and at school we read books, and then the ones that probably read the most or whatever was in, you know, getting good grades on things. And so I wasn't one of the first ones on board, but I was a substitute, they called it. So I got to go up, and the station, WFHR, was up above the Wisconsin Theater, if I remember correctly. And I was in on that contest. It was a contest, and I did get to speak.
Oh,
and so that is really my earliest days that I remember. And then growing up further, on a Sunday evening, about 6 o'clock, Bernadine Speltz and Vera Matthews, who married Dick Hockerman, later on, they had really good voices, and they would sing solos and duets. It was approximately 6 o'clock every Sunday night, so that would be on the radio. Well, of course, we didn't have TV in those days. It was mainly radio, and I'm still like that. I have the radio on all day.
Yes, I had to ask you to shut it off before we started.
I know.
But they had it on in two rooms.
Yes.
Yep. Here in the kitchen and also in the bathroom.
And then further on, it was Tom Mix. I remember that my little brother liked to listen to Tom Mix. That just came to mind a couple of days ago, too, what all the programs were. And then, of course, later on, when Arnie Strope, and that was on, it was Coffee Clutch. In later years, it ran into Over the Back Fence, well, and Trading Post, all that kind of thing, you know.
So when do you think, if you could, like the earliest memory, what year would you guess that was?
Well, I was probably 4 or 5 years old. That sounds scary, but I remember stuff from.
So what year would that be?
That would be like started school when I was five. So that would be 1946, probably.
Wow. Mm-hmm. 1946.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yes.
And Pam, how about you? What are your earliest memories?
Well, sounds something like Diane's, that in our family home, that the radio would be tuned in to WFHR. And I remember my mom would listen to the polka show, and I think it was on in the 11 o'clock hour. I remember being a youngster at home, maybe in the summertime, and she'd have the polka show on. And then another program when I was quite young, the station, we could write letters to Santa, and they would read the letters on air. And I remember it would usually be like in the afternoon, 4:30, 4:45 or so in the afternoon in the, you know, December. And I'd make sure that I was there in the kitchen listening to letters to Santa to see if, you know, if my letter got read. And sure enough, every once in a while, I'd hear my letter read. And so, and then I remember the Coffee Klatch show, you know, with Arnie Strope, and that was such a long time, you know, running show. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a youngster being with a Girl Scout troop, and I don't know what grade it was, like second or third or fourth grade or what, but we did take a tour of the radio station. They took us to WFHR when we were located in the building on First Avenue in conjunction with the Daily Tribune, WFHR radio buildings. So, but I remember, you know, going in there, and it was, you know, the radio station was in the round section of that building, and, you know, just seeing, I remember the studio in there too. They had a inner studio, and there was a piano in there too, I believe. And like what you were talking about, that they would have entertainers or singers that would come into the studio. With some of the history that I've read, you know, I've heard that's, you know, that's mm-hmm. what they did. They had the singers in the studio, you know, live.
Yes.
You know, performing, even from the start, when WFHR first started in their first locations, they had an organ and a piano in their studios for those entertainers that were there to sing and put on their shows. So
what was your impression of memory of that time, of how many people were working there?
Well, there was always quite a few people. It always seemed like there was a lot of people employed, you know, from me visiting as a youngster. I'm sure there was a lot of people employed in that building section that we saw. And even from when I first started, there was, you know, just a lot of people. There was, I don't know, 20, 25 people maybe that were employed there, that were part of the staff that made it all run and work.
Do you think, Pam, that those early years of listening and that visit, did that play a role in your working there? Because for listeners that don't know, and I don't know how you could mm-hmm. not know this, but Pam has worked at WFHR her entire career. Did that play a role in that?
I think it certainly must have. It was the hometown radio station, and when I saw the job posted, I certainly didn't know anything about radio at the time, but I kind of enjoyed what I was doing, and I just stayed within the company. And so
did you, either of your parents ever call into the radio station for any of those call-in shows?
I don't think so.
No.
It's not like now, you know, people will call in, but my mom was something like that. She's too busy with everything else around the house. She just liked to listen.
How many children were in your home? How many kids did your mom have?
Well, my mother and dad fostered my cousin, who was 4 years older than I, because his mother had to go to a hospital when he was only like 6 weeks old. And his dad went out to California with my dad and this other person. And for whatever reason, I forget what it was. And anyway, my mom and dad agreed to raise Delbert, 4 years older than I. And he was not really autistic, but when I think about it now, he would shake his arms when he'd get excited and that. But we all got along. And when he was 16, we had to take him to the hospital. And he stayed there the rest of his life. But my little brother, 5 years younger than I, you know, he listened to the radio all the time too. And later on when David played basketball and all that, it was on the radio and she'd listen. She was really involved with listening to her son playing and covering everything. She was real interested in sports and my dad could care less. It's been opposite, you know. But anyway, so I had my cousin 4 years older and my little brother 5 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our, well, in this 3-room house.
Oh my.
Mm-hmm. But my mother, you know, she had it all organized and I can still see it, and I would love to go back there someday if I could.
Take a peek.
Yeah, see how they remodeled, because there was no inside bathroom either.
Oh.
Because wow. I'm rather old, you know.
But still kicking and making the most amazing cookies.
And knowing that my memory is so well, my mother had a terrific memory, and my brother and I say, I wish he'd forget some of this, but it's all good.
Yeah. Pam, did your parents call into the radio station?
Not that I can think of, but there was a show that I remember hearing in the summertime when I'd be home listening. And it was called, I believe it was called something like Quiz the Missus. And it was during Arnie Strope's show in the morning, and the gist of it was he would call listeners at random, and he would say, well, I'm calling up a resident that lives on 17th Avenue, but the way the contest worked was you needed to have a box of, I think, like Blue Star or Red Star potato chips, and if he called your house and you answered and you could read off a recipe, you probably won something. So, you know, I think during that time, we'd always make sure we had those potato chips in the cupboard there, just in case that Arnie would be calling our house.
Oh, that's
so great. But I don't recall him dialing up our house, but that was certainly way before I met Arnie, when I was employed with him, you know, but it's like, yeah, we always had those potato chips ready just in case.
Oh, that's so neat.
Yeah, can't remember, you know, what other call-in shows. Oh, well, Trading Post, that was, or yeah. Coffee that... Clutch, maybe, if you had an opinion or something to talk about. I don't remember my mom or my dad. My dad was usually at work. I don't remember my mom ever calling, you know. Sometimes we get kind of shy about calling up on the radio, being live on the radio, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is a perfect spot for us to take a short, brief pause to hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay, talking with Diane and Pam, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I'm speaking with WFHR lifetime listeners Diane Blanchard and Pamela Hilke. And where we left off, we were talking about some of the call-in shows and memories of your earliest memories of WFHR and listening on the radio at home. And like you said, Diane, their television wasn't around when radio first started, at least not in your home.
No.
And so the radio was the way to get information. And now I want to ask you about, do you remember any commercials from that time? Are there any that stuck in your brain that you could, I don't know, give a memory, even if it's just of a business or a product that they were advertising?
that kind of escapes my mind. But they would be advertising the different businesses and that. But they have had to, because that's how the radio runs, you know, with the sponsors. Oh my goodness.
What about you, Pam? Do you have any that stick in your mind?
There was an advertisement for a sausage company. And it kind of went to the gist of there ain't no bones in a hot dog. And it had this cool little jingle. And I think there's some other people that have talked about this, you know, in some other media. But I can't even remember the company. I do remember there was another commercial for a local financial place. I don't remember it, but at the time it was in high school, and I would be in the living room watching for the people that we shared driving back and forth to high school with. And when the days when they would be picking me up, I'd be standing in the living room watching their car come down the street, and it would always be played at like the same time at 7:40 a.m. at this same financial institution, their commercial would be on air. And with working behind the scenes in regards to scheduling commercials, I'm sure that they had bought that particular place. But
that was your cue?
Right. You know, it's like, okay, when I hear this commercial, it's like pretty soon I'm sure they'll be coming by to pick me up and over to high school at Lincoln High School.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. And one of our local advertisers, Mr. Paul Gross, he produced a lot of his own advertisements, and he had his own little recording studio on his property. I think I heard that was at his store even. And he would have these catchy little advertisements, and his advertisements used to run like at 7:10 a.m. in the morning, and it would always end with something like, "And this is Paul Gross, and thanks for listening."
Yes, I do remember that one.
And just by hearing it over and over and over, you know, then you certainly remember, a person's advertising or their store.
Yeah.
So
that's how it sticks in your brain, right?
That right.
Like you said, at the same time times. Every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh.
You know what's coming up next.
Yeah.
Well, are there any sponsors or local businesses that you can think of that you heard on the radio but that aren't around anymore? I mean, Paul Gross Jewelers is still a functioning business here.
There was
Gurman's Jewelry Store. And I believe they advertised on there too. That was in the Meadwitter block. I remember going in there with my mom once in a while. And yes. And what? Well, cars, I think they maybe advertised the car places, or I think they did Polanski, you know, where they had Pontiacs. Buick.
Right.
Yeah, I recall that from years ago.
Of the grocery stores, like County Market, I remember when I was working, they had a, I think every week they had a different advertisement. They were located in Wisconsin Rapids on 8th Street. And there was a place called Knipes Hardware. It was, you know, an old-time hardware store. And this was ironic, but it just seems like someone had told me the story about there had been a fire somewhere. And if the next commercial that was played, and it wasn't set up to be, but it just happened to be like a Knipes Hardware advertisement that was talking about a smoke alarm. But I mean, what the odds of,
Oh boy.
And you know, department stores that we had, Johnson and Hills department store, and
yeah,
JCPenney. I remember They did a lot of advertisements when after the mall was built. And there was a whole mix of stores in the mall that were forever advertising what was happening there.
Mm-hmm.
H.C. Craney, they came yes. to the mall, started up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of businesses, yes, that were advertising that no longer exist. Some of them, the building is still there. Might be another business in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's all kinds of little offices in there, I guess. And it was unemployment office for a while. Johnson Hills building. I don't know what's in there now. Didn't you tell me you went there to pay your water and light?
Yes, the waterworks and lighting. They have a temporary office there. And I've walked in there, you know, the past several months when I've gone to pay my bill. And
and it feels so different, right?
Right.
I've not been in there, but I can only imagine. But it was a great department store. They should never would have left.
It was kind of like the Macy's of Wisconsin Rapids.
Okay.
If you can think of it that way.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. The grand old
before the
department store.
Did you ever see WFHR at local events at like the county fair or sporting events? Were there any events that you went to as a kid where you saw them broadcasting?
No, I wasn't. And my parents weren't the real, you know, going to different things like they have now. I never did. I never did see anybody from WFHR till, except for that Reader's Rally.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that studio being up above the Wisconsin Theater, though, when I went there as a third grader, you know, really nervous.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
But
I do remember when I was in high school and I played in the LHS orchestra, and at that time there would be probably one person from the radio station that would come to our concerts and sit in the side off to the side, and we'd go past him, and he had all the equipment because he recorded the concerts, and then WFHR would air the concerts on the radio, and then I'd try to make sure I could, you know, listen to our recorded concert, you know, when it got broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was probably a person by the name of Bill Nobles who,
yes,
because I believe when I first started working there, he was still doing, you know, went out to some of the concerts and did the recordings. And he was an attorney from this area, but he loved,
yes,
being doing radio, and he was a long time sports broadcaster also, I believe, of LHS sports.
So, yes.
He would often work like the Saturday shift at in the mornings back in the years when we were pretty much staffing and having somebody on air in the studios 7 days a week. He would often be there on Saturdays. I remember when my husband, too, would be working on Saturdays, sometimes he would say, well, Uncle Bill brought donuts today.
Oh.
I kind of dubbed it as Uncle Bill. So, but yes, I remember the radio station doing those recordings. And two, they were, I didn't pay attention to it, but they must have been up in the stands of a lot of local games, too, you know, with Terry State, to being a longtime broadcaster,
yes,
hometown person.
Yes.
Grew up in this area. And,
mm-hmm, and what instrument did you play in the orchestra, Pam?
I played a violin, part of the strings.
Well, it has been such a pleasure to speak with you both today. I think we'll have to have a part two of this conversation. So I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with WFHR lifetime listeners Diane Blanchard and Pamela Hilke. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me today, Diane and Pam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.
And thank you to listeners joining us for news in our community on Perspective 1320 AM 97.5 FM WFHR.